text from Luke 24 under the theme, All Things Fulfilled. When I was growing up, one of my absolutely favorite things was the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. I would ask for the collections for birthday and Christmas, look forward to the Sunday strip anyway, and the Sunday paper my dad always bought. And even the last couple years, I got the full authoritative whole collection of them as well. But in that strip Calvin and Hobbes, there's a series of strips that depict young Calvin's quest to get a mail order battery-operated propeller beanie hat from a cereal box. You know how I did this with baseball cards from Post growing up. You eat enough cereal, you get the proofs of purchase, and you could send in for whatever was on the cereal box. We see his dedication in the comic strip, downing bowl after bowl of Sugar Bombs cereal to get enough of those proofs of purchase. We see his eager anticipation for it to come in the mail, checking day after day for it. We see his daydreaming of this beanie hat propelling him high up in the air, up in the clouds, among the birds and the planes, and all over town and even out of town. But then, as you can imagine, we see his disappointment. Having to wait 6 weeks for delivery. Then when it comes, some assembly required. Then as he's assembling it, a propeller breaks. And then finally, with it all fixed and ready to go, he puts the hat on, he turns the propeller on, and it runs, but no liftoff. And young Calvin is sorely disappointed. All his hopes, all his daydreams, all his expectations ultimately unfulfilled. Well, Calvin says in the last panel of the series, at least it came with a great cardboard box for us to have fun with now. We all know Calvin's plight, though, don't we? What it's like to be unfulfilled. To be let down by ourselves, the people around us, or just the circumstances of life. We've all experienced disappointment and disillusionment. Who hasn't been let down by the promises of others? We become ashamed that we were so gullible, and we learn to be a little more distrustful. Who hasn't felt they've let themselves down and not been the best they could be in a certain situation? We become haunted by self-doubt. Or if it happens to us over our lives, look back at the horror, perhaps, of an unfulfilled life. Or we promise ourselves we'd do better the next time, but we fall into the same old sin or the same old patterns of failure. Which of us doesn't have some unfulfilled longing or desire that leaves us wanting, keenly aware of some lack in our life? And so we worry about having enough or being enough, and maybe become just a little more selfish or discontent. And maybe you've even felt this way in your relationship with God. Maybe there's some promise of God that you feel hasn't quite gotten applied to your life. You see it in the lives of others, but God, where's this promise for me? Or you've gone through a rocky time in a relationship, or you're feeling the financial squeeze, or you feel as if the system or life itself is dead set against you, and you wonder why God is leaving you so unfulfilled. Why do you feel so empty, so ashamed, so alone? Into our lives of disillusionment and disappointment, our lives that feel so unfulfilled at times, the good news comes to you and me today in the ascension of our Lord, that He has fulfilled all of God's promises for you in His life, death, and resurrection. And that in His ascension, in His ascended glory, He continues to fulfill all things necessary for you, so that we worship Him now and live with Him both now and forever. Our text started out with Jesus saying to the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that is the whole Old Testament, must be fulfilled." Jesus had fulfilled all of God's promises of old. He fulfilled even His own promises and predictions of His suffering, death, and now resurrection. The disciples hadn't stood that understood that beforehand. They'd been left confused. Their hopes for a Messiah were somewhat unfulfilled when Jesus spoke about suffering and death. But now, after his resurrection, Jesus opens their minds to understand the scripture, to see how all that he had said and done had fulfilled all of God's promises, to bring repentance, forgiveness, and eternal life for them and for all nations. Jesus had fulfilled all sorts of specific and direct prophecies. I think someone had tried to add it up over the past few years and found 800 or 900 specific, direct, verbal prophecies that Jesus fulfills. But he also fulfills the whole historical arc and patterns of Israel's history so that we see Jesus on every page of Old Testament scripture. The suffering and rejection of the righteous one. Release from slavery, return from exile, confidence and hope for a future, not based on present circumstances, but based on God's powerful word and his living promises. And on top of all that, all the things that Jesus did fulfill, his ascension has also now begun to set in motion the final fulfillment of all things. Jesus lives and reigns to all eternity with one mission and one purpose in mind, to work through his Holy Spirit and word and sacrament ministry to spread the gospel to all nations until the day of his return. Thus it is written, he said, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Yes, Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and the message proclaimed in the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, is the message that Jesus is the sign, the seal, the guarantee of the renewal and fulfillment of all things, the day of new creation brought forth into full reality. Romans 8 describes this longing of creation, that God dwells with humanity and humanity with God in this way. The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Yes, there are times when we feel unfulfilled, when we feel disappointed and disillusioned with life because we are waiting for this day when all things will be fulfilled, not just in promise and in hope, but in sight and experience. As we read through the comic strip, right, we know better than Calvin about what to expect from a cereal box propeller beanie hat, right? It's part of, as you go through the strip, you're kind of setting up to see when exactly he'll figure out that this isn't going to do what he promised, what he thought it would do. And if anyone else comes making promises about fulfilling all things and restoring all things, right, we'd be right to be skeptical. And even our experience sometimes maybe makes us wonder. Who, after all, can promise a world with no cancer or car accidents or school shootings? Who, after all, can promise a world where love doesn't grow cold and friends don't turn their backs? Who, after all, can promise a world where there's no more sin or suffering or sighing or sadness? Who can promise it? And better yet, who can make good on it? Only the one indeed died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. Our text from Ephesians describes Jesus as the ascended Lord, ruling and reigning over all things under his feet, until he fully brings about the age to come. The Father seated Jesus at his right hand, the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him fills all in all. So Jesus invites us today to see him fulfilling all things in his ascended glory for us and in us and through us, as he sends to us the same promise of the Father upon us that he did the first disciples. It is by sending us his Holy Spirit as well. The Spirit that moves you to repentance and faith in the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' name. the Spirit that gives you power to witness and to live boldly in the grace and truth and love that are in Jesus. The Spirit that gives us hope and confidence that even though we continue to wait for all things to be fulfilled in our sight and experience, we trust that Jesus is living, that He is reigning, and that He is ever present with us. We all know that as God's people, we often still feel unfulfilled in our lives, experiencing heartbreak and disappointment, tempted to disillusionment or coveting the good things that others have that I don't. We flounder sometimes in self-doubt or shame. And so as Jesus draws us closer to Himself by His Spirit, He invites us to reconsider and reframe the way we experience and think about these disappointments and disillusionment. Are we expecting God to do something He hasn't fully promised to do in this world and this life? I can certainly trust He has the power to do it. I can pray fervently for it. But is it really and truly a promise of His for here? Now? Or is it something I may have to wait for the final fulfillment of the new creation? Is my disappointment with God rooted in what His Word reveals about Him, or in my own interpretation of that Word, or my own expectations and thoughts about what God should do and what He should be like? Have I been willing to step outside God's will in one area of my life to get something else I desired and longed for? That's another name for idolatry, where I'm willing to sin to get something else, even if that something else in other circumstances is a good gift from God. When I first got to Trinity 12 years ago, there was a lay minister working there named Claire Baumhoff. Some of you perhaps know him. He's now in glory with our ascended Lord Jesus. I went with him on a few visits to see how he did ministry among our homebound folks and talked with him quite often about the ministry that he provided. And he talked about how many of those that he visited had experienced so many disappointments and disillusionments in their life. They could have become so focused on the ways that life might have left them unfulfilled. But a favorite verse of his own that he loved for his own life, but he also loved to share with the folks that he visited, was John 16:33, which says this: "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the middle of disappointing circumstances of life, Jesus invites us to trust Him. To trust in the first instance that He knows. He knows we'll meet trouble and trial. He knows we'll meet pain and grief and sorrow and shame and doubt. He knows how Satan will use those times of disappointment to seek us to be unfulfilled with God's Word, to distrust His promises, to look down on His Word and sacraments as His gracious presence with us. Jesus knows how Satan will tempt us to get matters firmly in our own hands, to fulfill for ourselves, maybe even those around us, the good things we think we deserve. But Jesus also calls us to trust that we can take heart, be of good courage. You will have troubles and trials and tribulations, Jesus says. But take heart and turn to Me. Be fulfilled in Me, Jesus says to you. Jesus says, only in Me can you finally find the fulfillment of your deepest needs of your life, true longings of your heart. Jesus says, only in Me can you first be fulfilled for your need to be loved. Only in Me can you first be fulfilled for your need to belong. Only first in Me can you be fulfilled for your need to matter in this life. Because Jesus says, I love you. You belong to Me. And you matter so much to Me that I gave My life for you. So when we find our primary and ultimate fulfillment in God through Jesus, that all the other longings and wants and desires we have, we find and put them in their right place. And we thank God and praise Him when He does fulfill them in some way in this life. We also understand that we live in a world of trial and trouble, and maybe only in the new creation will He fulfill all things for us. But take heart. Jesus' ascension means that He has fulfilled all of God's promises in Scripture, that He has fulfilled our need for forgiveness, life, and salvation, and that He fulfills our deepest human needs, sometimes now by faith, and one day we'll do it fully in sight and experience. Yes, Jesus isn't like some mail-order cereal box battery-powered bean hat, the recipe for disappointment and disillusionment. Quite the opposite, in fact, because Jesus will one day, when He returns, fulfill all things 1,000 times beyond our wildest hopes and dreams and expectations. He has ascended into heaven so that He can be with you now, so that He can send you His Spirit and prepare that place for you, so that you can have great joy even now in knowing Him, in trusting Him, in worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, awaiting His fulfillment of all things. In the name of Jesus, your risen and ascended Lord and Savior. Amen.